Welcome to Open Gym, a weekly podcast bringing you the best ideas of the brightest minds in the gym business. My name is Patrick Cummings. I'm a brand coach to gym owners and trainers, a longtime CrossFitter, and your host. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. This week, as we've been doing for the last few weeks, we're focusing our attention on some of the people inside the gym community who are doing what they can to get the benefits of fitness and health into communities that have been too often left behind. This time around, we have a conversation with Seike Brown and Cam Brown, two of the co-owners of CrossFit HCS in Ferndale, Michigan. Together, they've been advocates for improving diversity and inclusion within CrossFit and have started a nonprofit called Robin Hood Fitness to do their part in seeing that it happens. Seike, Cam, and I get into the way CrossFit HQ can further embrace a kind of inclusivity that thus far has been absent, why representation matters at the highest levels of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games, and finding the balance between what's good for both the individual gym and for the collection of gyms all over the world. I kick things off by asking Seike if implicit in this conversation is a recognition that the CrossFit community has, thus far, not been as welcoming to a diverse range of people as we often claim it has been.
So the biggest thing is that these gyms are all run by people in the reflection of their own ideals and values. Mm. So if Greg Massman, as a cis white male, started CrossFit and brought his friends in and they tried, and they opened their own gyms and brought their friends and opened their own gym and brought their friends, it's a trickling effect that takes a very long time to diversify if the person that is running it and attracting their friends and family only look like them. Mm-hmm. So, hey, maybe we lucked up with it starting in Cali because you got that, you know, mix of women in there and you got a mix of LGBTQ positivity and pride in the gym. But it's taken a long time to diversify culturally. But, you know, that's how it happened. You know, it spread out down. So I think it firstly comes from the owners and coaches reflecting on their ideals and beliefs and how it affects how they run their gym and the community that they've created and culture. But they can't do that until they self-reflect and if they find it to be important for themselves to grow. Because, you know, I was actually asked this in another conversation about, like, what if CrossFit had put out a post when George Floyd was murdered? To me, I'm like, who would have been in the comments? Who from HQ would have been educated enough to respond and create something that was aware and educated? So I apply that as well to the CrossFit owner. You know, are you educating first before you're making these culture changes to try to better your community? Because you have to do that first for it to be a genuine and lasting change that's going to be a positive effect. And once that happens, and you have the membership base that is becoming more diversified, then those people are the ones who want to learn and coach from you and then create their own boxes. And once they have that mentorship and we're passing the knowledge around, then it becomes diversified ownership. Then it becomes even more diversified membership. And then we're reaching communities that don't have gyms, or we've placed gyms there, but they don't have the actual community in there, i.e. gentrification. It has to start with the person who's creating the culture as the owner to self-reflect and better themselves. Mm-hmm. Because nothing's going to last or be believable and true until it's coming from the heart of the community itself.
So, yeah, I think, you know, one of the things you said there, this idea of, like, it trickles down from the top, or from, in the case of CrossFit, obviously HQ. And I think one of the things that, you know, I've been around CrossFit since 2006. And so one of the things that seems pretty apparent to me is that a lot of the growth didn't happen on purpose. It just happened, right? And so we've spent many years kind of just responding to this growth and, like, oh, this is great and this is wonderful and this is amazing. And now, you know, we've gone through the last 6 months where it's like, okay, well, now there's a bit of a reckoning here. And so I wonder from you guys, from your perspective, having looked at it for as long as you have, how does CrossFit HQ, how do we collectively, you know, those of us inside of it, to the degree that any of us are, how do we start doing it on purpose? What does that look like? You know, you just kind of hinted at it a little bit with this idea of like from the core of it needs to kind of educate themselves so that it's organically done. But like, what are you all looking for to see from the new ownership, from the steps that they're going to take that's going to give you hope that, okay, they get it, or at least they're going to try to get it, right? Like, what do you want to see? Programs, decisions, staffing, like what's going to show you like, okay, at least they're going to try to do this thing on purpose now?
Yeah, I think there's a few, so we might have to tag team this answer, because we actually talked to Eric Rosa last week to hear where, you know, his mind was and talk to him a little bit about what we've done so far. But first and foremost, it always has to come from who's in the room making decisions, which is day in and day out. We say that all the time, but truly, and we're not saying like CrossFit in and of itself has been built on, you know, HQ has been people who do CrossFit.
Yep.
You know, you find people who do CrossFit and you're like, hey, can you help me out do this? Bring you into HQ, which, you know, was fine and good. But like you said, it grew so fast that we're like, okay, maybe we didn't think about everyone who was in the room being a wide enough variety of opinions and voices, and maybe we're not listening to them. So that has to be where it starts. And further from there, the programs need to be in their wheelhouse. We're talking health, you know, and we're talking for a big part of HQ and CrossFit health is diabetes.
Yep.
You know, and Cam will know, like I bring it up in everyone when people ask like what we should be doing. And it's not anything different than Greg had set up with CrossFit Health. We can attack diabetes and you automatically have to know that is the Black community's, one of its largest plight is type 2 diabetes. So the programs we have set up, which there are a long list. Now, HQ isn't so good with communicating it to the affiliate owners, but there's lots of programs within the US that have been set up by affiliates partnering with health providers to fight type 2 diabetes and other diseases as on top of just general aging. And they set up these programs. These are the people that we need to be reaching out to say, okay, how does this program run? How did you get funding for this? And then finding the community members and nonprofits in the areas. And I'll use ourselves as an example, like in Detroit, how can I do this in Detroit? How can I find someone in the community that can help me lead it so I know that I'm doing it right and have that community perspective? And I feel that we can do many of these things through the setup of the CrossFit Foundation that already exists. Cam mentioned like how we'd set up a nonprofit affiliate within a school in Detroit. And that was sponsored through a grant from CrossFit Foundation because they had a section dedicated to schools and nonprofit affiliates. And from there, it doesn't need to be anything further than a diabetes focus, a diversity focus, or reaching less accessible cities and communities. And the programs already exist. We're not asking to create something new. I much prefer looking at ones that have already been created and successful and then applying it with the leadership of the community that you're entering. And that is such a big one for HQ in terms of how they get the CrossFit methodology into as many hands as possible. And I think it's really interesting, and we should really look more into the global CrossFit community as well, because they've done a lot in terms of coming together as affiliates to do things because they don't get the amount of support or the amount of accessibility that we do here in the US as affiliate owners. So they do a lot of interesting things. And I know like South America and some of the different countries in Africa, those affiliates have come together and really support each other. So that's one. I'll pass to you, Cam.
So I think one of the other things is representation and being able to see different people in those leadership roles, whether it just be red shirts at staff, as L1 staff or L2, and et cetera, or just being able to showcase that there are different people in positions. And I guess this is kind of getting into the representatives that we're getting, but being able to see those different people, whether it be people of color or the LGBTQ community, we need to see them kind of in that staffing, whether or not they are there right now or they are just not being showcased at some level. And I think that's one of the things that we've already seen kind of happen with CrossFit, bringing in people. So let's say a lot of Black people know Elizabeth Akinwale. And that is their like starting story to CrossFit. They're like, I saw Akin Wally do something at games, whether it be the monkey bars thing, and I think that was like 2011 or something like that, where she was crushing that, or the GHC sit up and the runs, and everybody's like, I remember Akin Wally. You know, the lifting, all of that stuff. So everybody, a lot of my friends or black friends and people that did CrossFit, they're like, Akin Wally is what started me in CrossFit. And then obviously she parted ways over time, and then we kind of had this like this void, and it's like, all right, well, obviously we can't just say like, all right, find some black people to get in, but there is some reason why. It's the representation. So if we're looking inside, what they can do is just be able to highlight other people that are doing CrossFit, black people that are doing CrossFit, and make sure that they are seen so that we get more people doing it. And I know for myself, Chuck Carswell is a big influence, because after I got into CrossFit, coaching wise, I saw him in a video, and I'm like, this guy's amazing, knocking my socks off. And I'm like, I gotta meet this guy one day. I saw him at games and almost freaked out. I was like fanboying out super hard. And I'm like, I know he's doing his job, but if I yell hard enough, maybe I can get his attention, you know? And that's for me, but I don't think he has any social media, anything like that. No. So you can't do anything. You can't see anything else about him unless CrossFit posts about him, you know? And that's the only information you can get in. You can dig in and find some interviews from way back. But that's what we want to see more of, because like that really touched me. And I'm like, I want to connect with him so that we can get more coaches. And obviously he's pretty high up in HQ as far as staffing goes and training goes. So people knowing that, if that gets out there, what his position is. And then I know they just had the sponsorship for L1s in Atlanta. I believe he was one of the head staffs for that. And I'm like, that's great. Good. Let's have more of that. Let's get more red shirts. Let's with black people in it. Let's have them doing some high level videos, because once people can see yourself teaching, then they're like, I'm a part of this. I can be a part of this. I can be an elite level coach or elite level athlete or elite level announcer or whatever this might be in CrossFit as far as this field goes.
It's hard to understand how much it can mean when you've seen yourself repeatedly and, you know, it clicks to you where you're like, man, I guess I haven't seen, you know, a black woman or an Indian woman or a woman in a hijab doing, you know, some of these things. And, you know, if you're that surprised, like imagine like 30 years of never having seen yourself, or you remember that one time. It can have a strong effect, you know, when you really think back to it. And it's not so much that there's a, okay, that means I can't do it. It's more so the feeling like, what does this mean if I do try to do it? What will I run into? What issues will I feel? And whether you're the type of person that would be negative towards it or not, you have to realize there's other people in the world that don't think like that. And that person could have heard many negative things just existing in the space that they're trying to, you know, better themselves in or get further in. Mm-hmm. So it's really an area to reflect on when you think of, when you, you know, repetitively hear representation matters, like really apply it to your life in every aspect. Mm-hmm.
As we stand here today, are the both of you hopeful about the direction that things are going to move within maybe the CrossFit space, or maybe more broadly towards a better understanding and a more concerted effort to improving the health of black people or just people more diverse than I think currently is being taken care of?
I definitely think the potential is there. It's all going to be about the execution. I think the resources that are now going to be available to HQ in terms of creating programs that are lasting and can have a well thought out rollout, there's so much potential, but there's also so much potential because we were like doing the bare minimum.
Yeah.
So I think with that, it's going to be time to see what they can do, because I'm one of those, you know, just being, you know, a business background is okay. I know they've got to fix, firstly, the hiring. You know, they've got to create positions that didn't even exist. And I don't want to see another, you know, while the L1 sponsored was nice, it was like a quick, okay, where do we go from here? Like, there was no full plan. I'd like to see the, you know, affiliates get notified of things ahead of time. And we need to see that happening in a well thought out manner. And we need to see the transparency in terms of who is creating the programs, how it's going to be rolled out, and what are your actual intentions and goals. You know, it's got to start with that transparency. Mm-hmm. But there's so much good in the potential, like you said. And I think we've seen it be a success from the CrossFit methodology. And whether every program set up is CrossFit by name or not, if Eric and the team listen, I think it could be great. Mm-hmm. You know, we know the methodology works. We just need the right people rolling it out to the people who need it most.
Mm-hmm. Cam, thoughts?
As long as affiliates are able to work independently and have their own way that they're going to create their community, create their gyms and everything like that, there will always be this separation between what CrossFit HQ does and what the affiliates do. And CrossFit HQ doing whatever they can to kind of diversify and all of that, I believe will happen. There's a lot of conversations, this podcast as well. There's a lot of criticism going towards it, like constructive criticism that is going towards it. I think that they're looking at a lot of feedback here with the new person in charge. Apparently, from what I've heard from Glassman, not really up to so many changes or as much feedback for this field versus the new one. It's like we're getting a lot of feedback. There's gonna be some dramatic changes. Mm-hmm. So I think that will happen at an HQ level. But because affiliates will run the way that they want to run, it will turn into the same thing that we see in society. And people will find their lane and say, I don't care what HQ is going to do, we're not going to be like that. Mm. And we're going to run our culture like this. We want to do our things like this. We will not say Black Lives Matter. We don't. And no one will ever say like Black Lives don't matter. It was like we'll put up more flags to say all lives matter. There will be affiliates that do that, and there will be people who will support that in that community. And there'll be a breadth of things in between, all the way to the other side of that. And as long as that happens, there'll still be confusion. Mm-hmm. Okay, because there will be articles written about these places. People will review these places. People will see these places and all of the things in between. As long as people are able to run things like they want to run things, and it's good and bad, but as long as people can shut down a community or shut themselves or wall themselves off and say, we are this fortress and you can come in if you like us, instead of opening and being part of the global community or the national community that you're in, then there will always be some sort of problem with acceptance into CrossFit. Mm.
You mentioned that there are the pros and the cons to the affiliate model, right? Would you be interested in a shift, however dramatic or subtle, towards a model that is less, as long as you pay your affiliate fee, you can do whatever you want, and closer to like, here are some standards of practice, right? And here's what we do. And as long as you don't cross these lines, right, we're going to draw the lines, then you're welcome here. But if you cross these lines, you're no longer part. Is that part of the changes that would make sense to you, at least if you saw them? Obviously those lines would have to be articulated and whatnot, but is that something that feels like would be at least a step in a direction that would feel better to you guys?
So I think so. And I toyed around with an idea, and maybe somebody can take it from me at this point. It's like basically a mystery shop for CrossFit body.
Yeah.
Right. Cause really what the issue is that coaches and owners get comfortable because they coach forever and have done it forever. So there's not a lot of changes. We kind of talked a little bit about that earlier. So as long, like, they get comfortable and they don't have anybody kind of shaking them up and really giving those checks to see what's going on. So even if you're running an affiliate that just is full of hate, right? But you go in there, like, the owner just hates people. They hate them I don't know how they got an affiliate, but the coaches are great coaches. But if somebody comes in and they're a mystery shop and it's a trans female that and they don't feel accepted and don't get the coaching when they come in there and they don't get anybody that talks to them, then they can get a report back, or people can look up online and see like, okay, this place is not safe. Because they're not getting coached, they're not getting any training, you're not going to get better. And that's really, at the end of the day, what we're looking for, like what we want. And maybe it is some type of guideline. I'm not that smart to put something together, but it might be some type of guideline like that, is that if you can't walk into every affiliate, like CrossFit is a big name and everybody wants everyone to understand that you can walk into any affiliate and kind of understand what you're going to get some coaching. And you're going to get somebody to talk to you, you're going to move safely, and you're going to get better. If those things aren't met because you are, let's say that trans female doesn't get coaching because they don't like you, then we're starting to break down you being actually better and being able to go into any affiliate. Mm-hmm. And then that makes it bad for CrossFit in general, because that one trans female had a problem going to an affiliate. So now they think, oh, CrossFit's bad, or they don't want to have to go around like, I hope this gym's good. So that's kind of the thing that I'd want to see, is like some type of mystery shop where they, like you said, have some type of parameters. I don't know what they would mm-hmm. be. It's tricky because of the affiliate model, because I don't want anybody any hands into what we're actually trying to do. Because they might disagree with us trying to do so many nonprofit or putting these different ventures out there and going to schools. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like people need to be accepted enough to understand that regardless of who I am, I will be appreciated and I will be coached. Because if you don't feel appreciated, you will not get good coaching, or you can't receive good coaching. Even if they are trying to coach you, if you can tell that things aren't good between the two of you, you can't accept that, mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it is.
Because the impact goes back and forth, right? Like if you've gone to one CrossFit gym, like that's your interpretation of CrossFit. Or if you've only followed CrossFit online because you're kind of nervous to go into a gym, so you followed them for a year, that's going to be your impact across the entire, any gym you walk into. Yeah. So if CrossFit needs to put their foot forward in their view of where they're moving in their diversity and inclusion, and also starting to work these health factors, because they are health factors, into the L1 and the L2 as a point to cover in discussion and practice for the up and coming coaches and eventual owners. Mm. Because a lot of members take those L1s. And if you're bringing up these facts, that's setting a tone for CrossFit now, mm-hmm. as acknowledging and understanding the importance from everyone's perspective.
There seems to be, especially Cam, what you just said, kind of this interesting tension, this dichotomy that has always existed within CrossFit. And it's between what's good for the individual affiliate and their bottom line, their success, their growth, and what's good for the collective CrossFit, for the collection of affiliates all over the world. How do you guys see that kind of tension, especially as it relates to this conversation that we're having now, where, yeah, there are some gyms that are kind of dragging the entire community three steps back, that now we've got to fight even harder to say, no, it's not this, it's like this. There are more good affiliates than there are bad affiliates. Well, however you kind of define those things, do you feel like we need to do a better job of thinking on an individual level about the collective and what's good for the collection of affiliates, and not just what's good for me right now in my gym, in my bottom line?
Yeah, I absolutely think that as CrossFit is still in its growth stages, we need to work as a collective. Because if we can start to kind of gather a general idea of what we all need to do to kind of push this foundation of knowledge of fitness, wellness, and preparedness of that type of thing out there, then we can get more people that are trying to come in and do CrossFit. Right now, that there's so many different ideas of what CrossFit is, and because there's so many different ways that people are disseminating the methodology and how their classes are run from structure, that people can be dissuaded. Like CK said, that the first thing that you see is CrossFit, it could be very different from a different place you go to see CrossFit, which makes you go like, well, now I don't really know what CrossFit is. Mm-hmm. So the mixture of people that we get in are going to be people, we'll get that same person, or they will just never do CrossFit again. Yep. And that's not really good for the global thing, because like myself, I loved it. I lost like 80 pounds, 70 to 80 pounds. I feel a lot healthier, reverse a lot of things and a lot of injuries and stuff like that. And I want that out of everyone, being able to do something so simple, an hour a day. So we need to work together in that. And then that's where we get into this affiliate rep type of thing, which is, it's trying to bring these regions together. Mm-hmm. So it kind of seems like we're trying to get on that same page. I don't know, without it already having a structure or a foundation of what an affiliate is supposed to be and what CrossFit HQ is looking for, then that representation will, that affiliate rep will not matter, because they will have their own idea, because they're all affiliate owners, I believe, at this point. They'll have their own idea of what CrossFit is. And there's like, all right, everybody, we should assimilate to this idea of what CrossFit is. But HQ technically has said what CrossFit is, but they haven't said what your affiliate at least needs to do on a bare minimum level. They have taken the approach, which is Glassman's kind of approach, I think the libertarian approach of things, of like, hey, if you suck at it, you're not going to be able to be around. Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily the case. If you're good at feeding into this masculine, hyper-masculine identity, you will be successful, because there are plenty of powerlifting gyms that feed into that hyper-masculine and masculinity without being good at being a gym or a coach. But as long as you feed that thing that people need, that people need mentally, mm-hmm. then you can be good. But that doesn't necessarily align with what CrossFit as the methodology actually does.
Mm-hmm. I think you said a good point with like not having that standard. So now you're appointing reps, and the only assumption can be is, okay, that must be the standard that you're looking for. And for me, I'm like, that's unacceptable. And from what I know in terms of appointments so far. Mm-hmm. So, and I think the only way is going to be that entire program is going to have to be reevaluated, because they have to understand what it is they're intending with it, which I don't think they do. At least the new administration doesn't. And I think you really hit it on the head there, Cam. Like, we need to talk about what is, even if it's not one ideal, what are the ideals that should be standard across. And even if they're not going to accept it, at least CrossFit has said what they are looking for and what they're going to promote and encourage. Mm-hmm. Because at this point, now you've announced reps, and that's what you're promoting and encouraging. Mm-hmm. There's got to be so much more communication now, because there's so many cool things that gyms are like doing that, you know, you can see, like, at least from Eric's point, because he's more vocal, like, what, that's happening? Y'all are doing that? Like, it's really exciting when you start to learn about it. So once HQ learns about it and gets this information, I feel like then they need to reflect, and they have their DEI consultants to say, like, okay, here's the information you need to get. You should really look at these, you know, XYZ gyms and what they're doing. Whether they're big, huge 10-year affiliates or the tiny nonprofit, you know, and everywhere in between, you've got to learn from your community, internalize it, to create, one, mass create the goodness that has been created, but also taking inventory on where you need to improve. Mm. Because we're not reinventing anything. There's so many affiliates that have been doing it themselves. Because you gave them their freedom, they went in the right direction with it. So now it's, how can we expand it to more? And how can we tell all the affiliates, like, this is something you can do very easily, and it's gonna benefit your community, the community you reside in, and then the global community. And once, you know, the lowest, most deprived person in our community comes up, we all come up. It doesn't take anything from me. That means we're all healthier. We're all happier.
Thank you to Seikei and Cam for the conversation, and to you, as always, for listening. Open Gym is part of the Morning Chalk Up Podcast Network. My name is Patrick Cummings. You can find out more about me and the work I do at functionalbranding.com. Until next week, my friends, stay strong.